remember any of this, the Greek gods? These people that I'm talking about, they sort of believe that. God is certainly all-powerful. God certainly meddles in the affairs of humans. But there's no indication that God actually cares about humans. And it's certainly almost impossible to understand why God does anything that he does. Sometimes it appears that God seems to like you and things go well, and other times it appears that God is, like, getting you for something. Sometimes you don't even know what it is. And these people, their religious practices are really not unlike the Greeks. They show up to church occasionally, couple times a week, maybe the Christmas Easter sort of thing, just enough to sort of, okay, God, I'll do my bit. Their sense of prayer is not a personal, there's no personal connection there. It's more, okay, God, I must bow down to you because after all, you're in charge. Sounds strange perhaps to you, and maybe you think that, oh, that's not me. But before we're too quick to give ourselves a pass on this, need to remind you, is there a chance that you have chuckled or laughed at a joke, a one-liner that someone did at some point that basically boiled down to God is going to strike someone with lightning? I don't know if anybody ever pointed this out to you, but humor, the human capacity for humor is based on truth. We only think things are funny if we believe there is truth in them. That's why foreign humor is so hard for people. Generally, you don't understand the truth behind the joke, and so it's not funny. My point is that if we laugh, if we chuckle politely when someone suggests that God might throw thunderbolts, that would seem to indicate that somewhere in us, we believe in Zeus, because that's what Zeus does. He's got thunderbolts, and he throws. Why bring all this up? The gospel story, I think, is Jesus sort of trying to deal with this a little bit. The disciples, they're a little confused. There's a lot in this, but at some level, it seems that the disciples can't quite get their head around God. And I suspect that sounds familiar to a lot of us. I mean, because we all know that God is not a, you know, some big old guy, long white beard, white robes sitting on a throne. We know that's not true. But then what is God? How do you get your head around whatever it was that created everything in the universe? And Philip says to Jesus, kind of like, we're confused. Show us the Father, like explain this to us. And Jesus comes up with this amazing answer. I'll make this easy for you, he says. You want to know what God's like? Look at me. You want to know what God would do in a given situation? Just look at what I have been doing in those situations. You want to know what God would say to you in a given moment? Look at what I say to people in those moments. If you've seen me, he says, you've seen the Father. I wonder if you appreciate the ramifications of that. Take just one example. Take serious sin. How about many of us? I'm sure I'm not the only one. How many of us grew up or at some, you know, in some way, we've got this view of God when it comes to serious sin? God is judge. And we even picture it that way, perhaps, you know, the bench and the gavel. And we picture God up there just waiting for the opportunity to look at us. Wrap that gavel. You're out of here. Or for those of us that like sports analogies, maybe you picture it as God is the great umpire, and he's just waiting to punch you out on a called third strike. Problem with that, of course, is that doesn't describe Jesus at all. Jesus says, if you want to know about God, look at me. So what does Jesus do with serious sin? I don't know, do you remember the story, the religious leaders? bring Jesus, this woman that they said was caught in the very act of adultery? Adultery, that's serious sin, and in Jewish law, that was a capital offense. And they pretty much say to Jesus, this woman has committed adultery. Would you like us to hand you a stone so that you can help us kill her? And what's Jesus do? Well, first, you need to remember that Jesus does not condone the woman's action, does not approve of it in any way, and says as much. Tells her at the end, don't do this. Don't do this again. But the big line in that story, he says to the woman, I don't condemn you either. You may chalk that up to a biblical story. You might say, well, okay, that's just the Bible. But that doesn't apply to me. Try this. Priest was just a few weeks ago was doing a presentation trying to help the clergy in the diocese help and minister to people that are struggling, addicted to pornography. And he said in his work, in his counseling, that one of the things that he does is he often will ask men, especially, if they could go back and remember the first time that they encountered those images. And his question to them is, if Jesus was in the room at that moment, what would he have done? This priest told us that most of the answers boiled down to, well, Jesus would have been disappointed. Jesus would have been disgusted. Jesus would have turned his back. Jesus would have left the room. This priest offers these guys an entirely different vision of that moment. He says to the guys, you know, here's what I think would have happened. I think Jesus would have walked over to you and given you a very big hug, and maybe between tears said to you, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that you saw that. I'm sorry that someone made it possible for you to see that. One of the things I've learned over a year of priesthood is that on a given Sunday, a whole lot of stories walk in those doors. We tell each other we're fine, of course, but we're not always. So I don't know what story you brought in here this morning. I do know that there is no story that you brought in here that is exempt from this. No story that you brought in here where God wants to turn his back on you, where God wants to punch you out. Maybe today, when you come forward to receive communion, the Eucharistic minister holds up the host and says to you, Body of Christ. Maybe as you consume that, maybe in a tangible way, maybe you can feel God embracing you today, maybe in a way you've never been embraced before. But you would appreciate, either for the first time or for the thousandth time, how much God really loves us.